Hi, I'm Lisa Trevino, and today we're going to be talking about the power of denial. So let's just start by taking a moment and closing our eyes, taking in a deep breath, and breathing it out. Holy Spirit, I am so grateful to have this next hour to talk about the proper use of denial, to share some experiences and some insights and some ahas, and to join with my brothers as they do the same, whether by getting on the microphone or commenting by text in the room, or just by sitting in focused, open awareness of your presence speaking to and through each one of us. Amen. Okay, so now I'm moving my attention to the Sparkle Edition. So if you have it, I'm on page 23, and if you don't, I will read slowly and I will piecemeal it so you can just read along with me. And if you feel at any point that there's something that I said or something that I read that you would really like to comment on, please raise your hand. I'll keep looking at the board to see if you've done so and turn the mic over to you. I ask one thing. It is being recorded, and if you can keep your comments focused on what we're talking about today, that would be most appreciated. So I'm in the section called The Reinterpretation of Defenses, and it starts off, when you are afraid of anything, you are acknowledging its power to hurt you. Remember, where your heart is, there is your treasure also. This means that you believe in what you value. If you are afraid, you are valuing wrongly. Human understanding will inevitably value wrongly, and by endowing all human thoughts with equal power, will inevitably destroy peace. That is why the Bible speaks of the peace of God which passeth human understanding. This peace is totally incapable of being shaken by human errors of any kind. It denies the ability of anything which is not of God to affect you in any way. This is the proper use of denial. It is not used to hide anything, but to correct error. It brings all error into light, and since error and darkness are the same, it corrects error automatically. True denial is a powerful protective device. True denial is a powerful protective device. You can and should deny any belief that error can hurt you. This kind of denial is not a concealment device, but a correction device. The quote-unquote right mind of the mentally healthy depends on this. You can do anything I ask. I have asked you to perform miracles and have made it clear that miracles are natural, corrective, healing, and universal. There is nothing good they cannot do, but they cannot be performed in the spirit of doubt. So I'm going to stop there for a moment and talk about this. There's a couple of things in this that just really stand out for me. When I was growing up, I lived in an incredible amount of denial. And I felt that this was my way of protecting myself, but the kind of denial that I was using is one I'm sure everyone here is familiar with, and that is to deny that I'm thinking whatever that I'm thinking, and to deny that I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling, and to deny that I'm experiencing whatever I seem to be experiencing, but pushing the thought back into the recesses of my mind with all the power of the belief that it still contains. and shoving those feelings down into my being, stuffing them like gunpowder into a gun, any time to go off sideways, to feel so unstable because I lived in a constant confusion and constant emotional turmoil. And my biggest coping skill for what I thought was happening to me out there, because I had denied the power of my own mind, was to deny further and further and further. Because I did that, I ended up very alone in my mind. I ended up very depressed and suicidal at the age of 12, and then again at 17. I ended up feeling a sense of deep fear and terror for other people, afraid that they can do to me what I thought was happening by just associating the way I felt with being around them and what they were doing or saying. And because I was denying where all this was coming from, I was also denying my power to do anything about it. And this is the misuse of denial. We think that we're protecting ourselves. But what we're really doing in that moment is affirming the error and denying truth. We are affirming error and denying truth. So of course, you know, I ended up addicted to different things and bottoming and bottoming and bottoming. And I ended up in severely codependent relationships that would make any description of the special relationship fail in comparison. And I was miserable, confused, and terrified, angry, full of resentment, and heavily addicted to food, alcohol, pot, work, sex, relationships, etc. The only way out was through. The only way I was going to feel a sense of comfort in my own skin, so to speak, was to return home and to question all that I had denied. But now with the proper use of denial. And the proper use of denial is a very powerful tool. It is the most powerful tool that we have. First, we say that it can't be the truth. I am suffering. I am suffering in relation to this thought, this feeling, and this experience. It cannot be true. I want the truth instead. We deny its power to hurt us. We deny its efficacy. And we ask for the truth instead. And sometimes I had to do it really gently by saying, isn't it possible, just possible, that this isn't true? Because I had so strongly identified with whatever story I had believed and denied the truth instead, that I had to be gentle with myself and ask myself, just possible? Lisa, really? Just possible. And sometimes I had to be firm. If I'm suffering, this is not true. I want the truth instead. And it just really depended for me on how heavily I was invested and how much I was identified with whatever I thought I did or was done to me. So the proper use of denial doesn't say, I don't think this way, I don't feel this way. The proper use of denial doesn't use absolutes and platitudes and deny the part of the mind that needs to be brought to the light by saying, it's all an illusion anyway. It's all an illusion. There's no point in looking. I am the whole perfect Son of God. No point in looking. No point in asking. No point. Instead, we say, since I am the Son of God and I am perfect and whole, but I do not think that or feel that right now. Since that is the case, I want the truth, I want the correction, I want the miracle that will return me truly in my awareness to really knowing that and I need the correction. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm going to uncover, discover, and discard it. It goes on in this reading and it says, God and the souls he created are completely dependent on each other. The creation of the soul has already been perfectly accomplished, but the creation by souls has not. God created souls so he could depend on them because he created them perfectly. He gave them his peace so they could not be shaken and would be unable to be deceived. Whenever you are afraid, you are deceived. Your mind is not serving your soul. This literally starves the soul by denying it its daily bread. God offers only mercy. Your words should reflect only mercy, because that is what you have received, and that is what you should give. Justice is a temporary expedient, or an attempt to teach man the meaning of mercy. Its judgmental side arises only because man is capable of injustice, if that is what his mind creates. You are afraid of God's will because you have used your own will, which he created in the likeness of his own, to miscreate. What you do not realize is that the mind can miscreate only when it is not free. An imprisoned mind is not free by definition. It is possessed or held back by itself. Its will is therefore limited and is not free to assert itself. The real meaning of are of one kind, which was mentioned before, is are of one mind or will. When the will of the Sonship and the Father are one, their perfect accord is heaven. And there's one thing I want to point out about that section. When it says that he gave them his peace so they could not be shaken and would be unable to be deceived. When our mind is totally aligned with what is the truth, we are incapable of being deceived. But when we choose to deceive ourselves by telling ourselves a scary story and believing it, it is our choice to be deceived, and we imprison ourselves because we are not using our mind with God, but we are using our mind to miscreate. It's an interesting concept because free will, apart from God, apart from God's will, is not free. And many times when I went through, I guess maybe this might have been my thought when I was growing up and into my 20s, definitely, I thought free will was our choice to choose God or not. Free will was our choice to choose God's will or not. But when we learn in A Course in Miracles and in our awakening that our will is only free when it is aligned with God's will, because our will is God's will, we look back and we say, my will was not free before, when I thought I had a choice between everything and nothing. My will was not free before, when I had a choice between heaven and hell. Why? Because the mind that chooses hell chooses imprisonment. The mind that chooses apart from God's will chooses separation. And once we realize that we do not want to be separate in our awareness from our Father and our brothers, once we realize that, we realize there was never any choice. We never were. So the only choice we only seem to have is to choose what is. And once we realize it's all we want, there is no choice. Welcome, Teddy. Teddy wrote, "Very few people actually understand the nature of free will, as Jesus teaches it in A Course in Miracles. The free will of Jesus's A Course in Miracles has nothing to do with freedom to do or not to do anything whatsoever. It is a matter of unbound extension of that which is eternal and infinite and has nothing to do with space and time." I totally agree. That's what's so ironic about it. You know what else fits that same paradigm? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When you think of yourself as a body, and you see your brother as a body, you think it's more do for a body or give to a body or get from a body what you would want. That's not what do unto others means. To see your brother truly is to see yourself. To share, to give to your brother is to give to yourself. Okay, let us go on. Denial of error is a powerful defense of truth. You will note that we have been shifting the emphasis from the negative to the positive use of denial. As we have already stated, denial is not a purely negative device. It results in positive miscreation. That is the way the mentally ill do employ it. But remember a very early thought of your own. Never underestimate the power of denial. In the service of the right mind, the denial of error frees the mind and reestablishes the freedom of the will. When the will is really free, it cannot miscreate because it recognizes only truth. I say that again. When the will is really free, it cannot miscreate because it recognizes only truth. Yes, total responsibility is what free will is. Complete alignment with truth is what free will is, because the will is free to create. In that same section, he talks about positive miscreation. I say, well, what is positive miscreation? When we tell ourselves a story and we believe the story and we deny what the truth is, it's just not a mere negation. It's not that we don't experience what the truth is. It's a positive miscreation in the sense that we do experience it. Any thought that we have that we believe gives power to it. And in doing so, the feelings we feel and the actions we take and the experience we have and the interpretation of everything in our perception fuels and reaffirms that thought. It becomes our whole world to us. It is not just a mere negation. It is a positive miscreation. We do experience the effects of our thoughts. And this is a very key point when it comes to denial. Because many times, and I know that I had run on this for a long time, like I said earlier, just don't look at it and it won't hurt you. What you don't know won't hurt you. Remember that? Just deny it. Just let it go. Just sweep it under the rug, push it in the back of your mind, shove it down, whatever. Don't talk about it. Whatever you do, don't talk about it. And we think that, well, we're buying ourselves some peace and it's not going to affect us and, you know, we'll deal with this later. But if we really got that those thoughts were driving the bus the entire time, no matter if we look at them or not, they do. Thoughts become feelings, become actions, become experiences. Projection makes perception. There are no idle thoughts. There are none. And if there are no idle thoughts, then the whole misuse of denial by the ego is a joke. Is a joke. It doesn't work. It just keeps you spinning in the same story without even knowing why you're doing it and what's going on. So better to bring it up. Deny its power to hurt you. Deny that it is the truth. But don't deny that you think or feel that way and let it come up and allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to heal this, to correct it. Allow yourself to be open for the miracle. So there's a lot of writing on the board. And Teddy wrote, "You can't actually free your mind, as your mind is created free. All you can do is find that which in your perception is experienced as not allowing you the free will that is your God-given nature, and look on them with the light of understanding or the Holy Spirit. And he's commenting on something Graf had typed. You are speaking about authority. Is it not enough to free your mind, have a free will to find the truth? But the free will is the one that already and only knows the truth. So it's kind of around and around you go, chasing your tail. Yep. That is why, Teddy says, the world of space and time, illusion of lack of freedom, must be false, as God could not create a mind unfree, so the condition is non-existent. Exactly. And that's the proper use of denial. To deny that anything that is illusion has the power to hurt you, and to ask to see the truth instead of the illusion. The improper use of defenses is quite widely recognized, but their proper use has not been sufficiently understood as yet. They can indeed create man's perception, both of himself and of the world. They can distort or correct, depending on what you use them for. Denial should be directed only to error, and projection should be reserved only for truth. You should truly give as you have truly received. The golden rule can work effectively only on this basis. And so it's important to note that there really are two different ways to project. Whatever you believe, you are going to perceive. You are going to extend that. And you're going to see that in your world. You're going to see that as your brother. You're going to see that as yourself. But you can extend from truth, and you could project from truth just as much as you can project from illusion and experience that as well. So you can see the real world instead of the world you made. By changing your mind about the world, by correcting your mind, you will see it differently. So denial should be directed only to error, and projection should be reserved only for truth. The next paragraph says, intellectualization is a term which stems from the mind-brain confusion. Right-mindedness is the device which defends the right mind and gives it control over the body. Intellectualization implies a split, while right-mindedness involves healing. Someone was sharing once about the left brain, right brain, and it was obvious from what he was sharing that he was identifying the mind with the brain. And the error in identifying the mind with the brain with what he was saying was that he was saying that the right side of the brain, the right hemisphere of the brain, was responsible for all of our spiritual experience, our connecting with God, all of that, and knowing ourselves, and that the left side of the brain was the ego, and it was all logic, etc., and intellect. And I asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided me to see that there was so many points in the Course in Miracles in which logic is used, and that the brain is not the mind, and that it is very important to not associate the two. I know we all fall into the trap of pointing to our head and saying what we think, but the body actually occurs in the mind, not the other way around. And because we identify with the body, we will think that it is to the brain that our mind is. And what is so interesting about that is that throughout the Course in Miracles, there are many examples like, if this, then this, this isn't that way, so this. Throughout the Course in Miracles, that's logic. That is logic. And that would be the right use of logic, because you're allowing truth. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to use it. And the Holy Spirit uses everything. Your body is a communication device. Every aspect of the brain, every aspect of your body, it is used as a communication device. Not just certain hemispheres or certain parts. I know that that must have been that I had some thought about that. You know, that it stood out for me that I asked the Holy Spirit, can you please correct it? So when we were reading intellectualization is a term which stems from the mind-brain confusion, right-mindedness is the device which defends the right mind and gives it control over the body. Intellectualization implies a split, while right-mindedness involves healing. To me, intellectualization is really the authority problem. Thinking that I am in charge, I need to figure it out, I need to solve it, I need to analyze it, I need to spiral into analysis paralysis, I need to pick lint out of my navel until I get it. Intellectualization can be used to rationalize, oh well, it's not that bad, or well, if this is true, then that must be true too. Not taking into consideration whether or not the initial thought is true that you're using to justify something else. Intellectualization can be used to take a belief that you always believed and never questioned to justify other beliefs. So intellectualization can be used by the ego as a very powerful form of denial. But it can also be used by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit uses everything that you made and everything that you believe with you. When you question it, the Holy Spirit will correct it, will purify your thoughts. And the Holy Spirit uses your mind, the way it works, to help you to undo and unlearn everything that you've made up and that you believe that you're running on, this false identity. This egoic self, who you think you are, what you think is really going on, so that you can be free. Years ago, and I've said this before, I had a near-death experience. I was in and out of a semi-comatose state, and my brain wasn't working. And yet I was in a very deep state, and I was very aware that I wasn't thinking thoughts, like memorizing words and seeing pictures, and I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I was still aware. I was still in awareness. And I was thinking, if I'm not my brain, you know, like if I'm not this body, like I really got that there was something I was now detached from, what I was running on as my soul. It's kind of like when the Course in Miracles says, you think you see with your eyes, you think you hear with your ears, and you think with your brain. You think with your brain. But should you be shut down like I was for a certain period of time like I was, there was a totally different way of being. And to me, that is just stepping into the holy instant and being in that space of not needing to figure it all out, not needing to try to fix a problem that I made up in the first place, but detach from what I think I know, connect in my awareness to what is true instead. And ask for the correction. And Groff wrote, can one be free of knowledge, rise above thoughts, and then start inquiry? Being free of the knowledge requires putting aside all known. Not letting go of knowledge is the same as letting your ego and thoughts lead you. Well, there are two kinds of knowledge. One that isn't really anything, and one that is everything. The knowledge that I believe that you're speaking of to be free of is the intellectual stories, the stuff you'd go on Jeopardy, the facts, the figures, the I know this, I know that. Be free of that. It seems like that's what you're saying. Social conditioning, yes. But knowledge is, with a capital K. And right now, when we are shifting our perception and we are entering into our right mind, when we have just told ourselves a story, we are wanting right perception, which leads us to the true knowledge, the only knowledge there really is, what is. We want the correction because we want the truth. Yes.